Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Rich Eisen Show.
When the NFL schedules 49ers-Packers to kick off Week 9, they're thinking, okay, this is the rematch of the NFC Championship game.
Final score, the Packers 34, the Niners 17.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Coming up, ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst. NBC horse racing analyst Eddie Olchek. Plus actor Jeremy Piven. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We have not one but two great poll questions, and they're at Rich Eisen Show for you to vote on, and we're going to dive deep into one of them shortly, just a few moments, as a matter of fact. Brian Windhorst is going to join us from the worldwide leader in sports. The NBA powers that be voted to start the 2020-2021 season on December 22nd. And I'm wondering what this is all going to look like. And then, of course, there's the draft coming up, and Brian knows everything about everything, and I just love our chats. He makes me smarter. And that's why I love having him on. So he'll be joining us in about 20 minutes' time to talk about all of that. Chris Brockman, Hour 3 is about Chris Brockman making you some money and getting in his news update, Eddie Olchek, to talk about the Breeders' Cup Classic that's on NBC.
Fantastic.
Then he'll give you his sneaky good games. I've got three games that are under the radar for the NFL Week 9 that few people are talking about. Jeremy Piven, who everyone knows from the TV show, the hit TV show, Entourage, he'll be joining us. He's in a new film that is dropping in theaters if you have one that is open near you and you are allowed to go in it. It's available on demand today as well, called My Dad's Christmas Date. So that's coming up. He plays an American in London. And it'll be a fun chat with him. He's a diehard Bears fan. I'm wondering what he thinks of what's going on with his 5-3 team that's on the outside looking in and sniffing it after the Green Bay Packers just improved last night to 6-2. So there's all that going on. Your phone calls at 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. Our higher register is just a few minutes away. Chris Brockman's been touting his. He's very excited about it.
Very excited.
When we go higher register on a Friday, we've got to go all the way. You know, we realize you got to go falsetto a little bit to believe, you know, what you're saying. So TJ Jefferson is getting into the spirit of that, as always. Our social media grand maester, I think you're the one who has the most difficulty to try and get higher register.
Well, if your team was the Cowboys, you'd have a hard time doing this.
Okay, very good.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, as a matter of fact, let's just do this right now. I wasn't planning on doing that. You mentioned the Cowboys. Our friend Manny in El Paso wants to have a word with you, apparently. What's up, Manny? He'll take your phone call. That's line three, Jason. What's going on, Manny?
How are we doing, gentlemen? First of all, I got two write-ins for the quarterbacks.
Okay, you're
Keanu Reeves, okay. Shane Falco. Kurt okay. Russell, Reno Hightower from Bend of Time.
Okay. All right. Our poll question is which fictional football player should be drafted first overall? Manny, what do you have to say about TJ? You want to get something on him?
With all due respect.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh.
TJ, how dare you? Seeking fandom from another football team? Much like the players, you have to earn the star and not just be a fan of it. You're saying you're going to go fishing on Sunday. Hey, we're going to get knocked down, but just like the star on Captain America's shield,
oh boy,
you got to get back up, dust yourself off, and say, I can do this all day. Besides, Garrett, he got it. Gilbert may pull off a big upset. Who knows?
Hey! By the way, Manny just hit it.
If the Jets and the Dolphins can upset the Patriots, maybe the Cowboys have a chance.
So if I'm not mistaken, Manny just hit for the cycle in going higher register, all due respect, and slagging on one of us? I mean, is that?
Seems like it. And apparently Manny just took my entire higher register.
Did he really?
So
oh, no!
I can sit this one out. Thanks, Manny. I'm going to go get some water in the back.
Well done, Manny. Thanks for the call. It's Manny in El Paso.
Manny.
Oh, boy.
I mean, literally, that was it.
Hang in there. Stop.
It's all good.
Stop. I don't even remember what Manny had to say.
No, why would you disrespect Manny like that?
I'm just trying to preserve your higher register. So let's talk in the meantime about our poll questions. Chris, what do you have over there?
Okay, guys. So we got a great football one. Who's the best wide receiver in the NFL right now? Right now. That's key. Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, DK Metcalf. A little recency bias based on last night's performance. 48% say Devontae Adams, 29% D-Hop Nuke, and 23% DK Metcalf.
Well, out of consistency's sake, I voted for DK Metcalf because as I told you, I said the best quarterback wide receiver combination in the NFL is Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf. That was one of my four downs a couple weeks ago. So to be consistent, I chose DK. But maybe he can run down the leader of this poll. You know what I mean? That's what he usually does.
And our pop culture poll today, the 22nd anniversary of the Waterboys release. Crazy. Which fictional football player would you take first overall in the NFL draft? Bobby Boucher, Johnny Utah from Point Break, Willie Beeman any given Sunday, Jamie Foxx, and the great Forrest Gump, All-American from Alabama. Bobby Boucher, guys, leads the way, 46%.
Is that right?
Gump, 21%.
Yes.
The Raiders must have the first pick. Willie Beeman, 19%, and 14%. Johnny Utah.
Well, here's the interesting thing, guys, is we decided to add a little reality to this, even though these are fictional guys.
Right.
And we not only have created draft profiles for each one of them, but we are going to, later on this hour, we have actually called up our buddy Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network to actually call in later on in this hour to give us a draft evaluation of all four guys.
Yeah, so I texted him our boards that we're about to unveil, and he said, love it. I've written scouting reports.
Fantastic. So let's unveil them right now, as a matter of fact. Let's just have a little bit of fun, and this is what we're going to do later on with Daniel Jeremiah. First up is Bobby Boucher from South Central Louisiana State. His strengths and accomplishments include a ferocious competitor with a nonstop motor. He's a big hitter with unblockable off-the-edge speed, and he makes some delicious H2O.
High-quality H2O.
Okay, some high-quality. Now, here's some red flags. He's undersized. Can he stop the run? I mean, that's a legitimate question.
Legit question.
Right? Doesn't quite understand the concept of what a playbook is.
That's tough.
And then the last one, he's prone to unnecessary roughness flags, so he's a hothead. He's raw. He's a raw talent. Can he be molded?
Can he be coached? Is he coachable?
Okay, so that's the first one up there. Next up, here's the draft profile of the great quarterback from The Ohio State University, Johnny Utah. Johnny Utah, he's got dogged determination. He's athletic. He learned to surf in like one day, which is, by the way, I'm reading.
He did.
You know,
even with a pink surfboard, I'm totally fine.
He's got a big arm. He can make all the throws.
Yeah, he
makes. There's not a single throw he can't make.
Heady became a lawyer, FBI agent.
Now, he's got a medical issue. He's got a medical red flag about that reconstructed knee. And then here's the one that you hear a lot. Like, is he committed to football, or is this whole law enforcement thing an indication that he's not all in? That he's not all in. How many times do you hear that at a combine?
Great question.
You know?
Great question.
Right?
Does he really love it? Does he really love it?
Does he really love it? Because law enforcement, can it get in the way?
Yeah, it gets in the way.
All right. Now, here's the great quarterback from the University of Houston, Willie Beeman. If you put it up, he's extremely, his athleticism cannot be denied, right?
Can't be denied.
He's a creative playmaker with quick ankles. How about that? Didn't know that. And his confidence is endless, right? So that's great. Now, here are some of the red flags. He can clash with the coaches. He hasn't gotten a lot of experience as a starting quarterback. Selfish at times, and can he get injured? Is he injury prone?
That's true. They had him as he was defensive back. He was a safety trying to tackle
converted.
A guy.
Converted.
So.
Right. So these are questions about Willie Beeman. And then here is, the draft profile of the great Forrest Gump. Alabama great Forrest Gump. He's an instinctive runner with excellent acceleration. Top end speed.
Wherever he was, wherever he went, he was running.
He takes instruction. Well, he's highly coachable, and he's elite. You give him the ball, he's an elite playmaker. Now, here's some red flags. Straight line runner.
Oh.
Only. Okay? He's a straight line runner only. His Wonderlic is questionable. I cannot believe that we are so damn heartless.
Look, we just have to point that out.
He's a daydreamer? He's focused?
Yes.
Well, remember that one big game, he was just kind of staring off into the stands.
And now, again, we're just questioning if he's all in on football because he's got off-field interests, you know?
Well, I believe like he was invested in that fruit company, too.
Well, I mean, but this is not when he was playing football. Yeah. Like, we can't take the entirety of his life and, I mean, we're just focusing on football here.
He does have a love of ping pong. I think that should be a positive on the draft board.
He is an elite playmaker. By the way, that is a big red flag. He's a straight line runner.
We forgot to mention his high motor. He's a high motor guy.
He's a high motor guy.
Very high motor. Tank for days.
This is so stupid. It's awesome.
Well done, Smitch. The boy's back in the shop.
Great.
Outdoing themselves on this one.
That's great.
So Daniel Jeremiah will join us later, and I think he's got some other draft notes.
He has scouting reports, full scouting reports on these guys.
Yeah, Very good.
I think we should just also let people know, we started this with like a list of 12 guys.
Yeah, we had a
lot of
names.
So for everyone who's like, what about? Well, man, this was hard to dwindle these down.
Yeah, I know. We had a lot of what about.
We had a lot.
Let's do one more what about. Chris in Binghamton, New York. What's going on, Chris?
How are you?
How are we going on? What's in your mind?
I just had a question about, you know, doubling down or giving two of the actors a couple different characters.
Uh-huh.
Adam Sandler from The Longest Yard.
Yes, sir. Okay, so we might have the wrong Sandler football character. Got it.
And then Keanu Reeves from The Replacements.
We may have the wrong Keanu Reeves character.
I voted for Falco, but...
Remember, now, Falco folded like a tent in the Sugar Bowl, so we got big game questions.
Got big game
questions. Oh, big game. Okay.
Could that be, and by the way, if I'm not mistaken, the coach was Gene Hackman, right?
Coach was Gene Hackman.
So, by the way, so that's another guy
right.
who's played multiple coaching characters in sporting films. Although.
He was the original. Coach, Falco, wasn't he?
Very good. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Good stuff. Thanks. From Chris in Binghamton. By the way, I remind me never to compare The Replacements with Hoosiers ever again.
Yeah. I mean, look, just
how much money did they have to pay Gene Hackman to do the Replacements?
I mean,
did it build him a house?
I was just going
to
say,
had to have bought
like a fourth house.
To have bought Gene Hackman a house.
Yeah.
A couple of extra acres in Montana.
Wherever.
Yeah, wherever.
I think it's New Mexico, actually.
Oh, is that where he's at?
Yes. Yeah. When I met Gene Hackman at the Super Bowl, because Jack Del Rio brought him to a party, and that is not
the way
I usually start a
Jeez.
Sentence.
Can we rewind
but
what
these
you
are
Just
all
let me pick all of this these names up on the ground real quick.
When I met Gene Hackman at a Super Bowl, because Jack Del Rio had brought him to a party. Facts. The two things I noticed were, first of all, what the hell is Gene Hackman doing with Jack Del Rio? They're friends.
Very valid question.
Two, man, is Gene Hackman big.
Really?
He's one of those bigger in person?
Bigger? Like, he is a huge-ass man.
Wow.
Never knew that.
Yes. Like, huge.
Like, how tall are we talking?
6'3".
What?
Yes.
Listed at 6'2", but...
That wow. big. Okay. Like, kept going up.
Had no
and
idea.
And loves football. And had a great chat with him. He watched NFL Network, put me over the moon. First person I called was Susie. She was, you know, okay, click. Second person I called, my parents. You know, I called my parents. Of, hey, you never guess who I just. I was so excited.
Man, he's 90.
I know. God Baby. Bless him. And probably, wow. you know, watching football.
He loves football.
The Super Bowl was in Jacksonville. It was the Eagles and Patriots.
Oh, nice.
And Jack was the coach of the Jaguars at the time. So it was his home. It was wild. Oh, my God. That's Gene Hackman walking in the door. you ready to go higher register, Jess?
Yeah, just real quick, though. Johnny Utah won the Rose Bowl. Okay, so let's just show some respect to Johnny Utah. Beat USC. Come on, guys.
So Johnny Utah won the Rose Bowl, and Falco... Lost the Sugar Bowl. So if you're talking about Keanu Reeves football characters, I mean, there's no more conversation.
We nailed it.
Who's worthy of the top overall pick? Right?
Great question.
Nobody's called in and said Vontae Mack yet, right?
No matter what.
We got some tweets about Vontae Mack.
Vontae Mack, because he's no matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what.
Number one.
Have we ever, we did, oh, I was about to say, we ever talked to Costner about draft day. I was on the set talking to him once. That was amazing.
Amazing.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll still take your phone calls. Let's go hire register here on the Rich Eisen Show, as we've done, I think it's been a hit, dare I say, on Fridays. We have to go way up here to believe what we're about to say in our sports takes. Like, we can't just say it here. We got to go, hey, it's possible. Essentially, it's another edition of Higher Register on the Rich Eisen Show.
There's a chance.
The Rich Eisen Show's.
That there could be.
Higher Register. Take of the week.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I kind of like the orders that we've been going in. You first, Chris. Then you next, TJ Jefferson. And then I'll bring us home. Go for it, Chris. You're first up.
Okay, guys. As you know, I'm a Boston Red Sox fan.
You sure are.
I wear the Old English B every single day.
Put it on. Put it on.
Every single day.
Put it on.
Now, here's the deal. This summer was a Red Sox season to forget. 400 win percentage.
Awful.
The worst since 1965. Mm. That's a long time. Especially after coming off the 108 win season, World Series championship, the fourth in the last 15 years. And I know, look, February 11th, sad day. We traded Mookie Betts to the Dodgers that day. And I have come on this program multiple times and have taken ownership of the Red Sox to the woodshed. However, today, with the news that the Sox are bringing back Alex Cora, the man who led us to that 108 win season back in 2018. You know what, guys? Maybe Red Sox ownership knows what it's doing. Maybe they got it right. Maybe they finally have it all figured out.
You're so happy.
I'm so happy.
By the way, the fact that they did this, knowing that they're going to take some fire. They will take some heat.
Great. Dan Shaughnessy can write all the columns he wants,
but
nobody cares.
You're so psyched.
I'm so psyched.
They did it, man.
They brought him back.
They did it.
Should have never fired him in the first place. All is right.
So
maybe they know what they're doing.
Well done. Don Bowie saying it was a mutual parting of the ways.
Great.
But no, I think that might have been one of those, you know, we're mutually a parting of the ways, even though there was no mutual parting.
Amazing.
But now they're mutually back. TJ.
We're back.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
What do you have?
Man. Here we go, guys. NFC East. I just want to point something out to you. The NFC East has 12 Super Bowls, okay, combined. This year they have 8 wins. 8 wins in the entire division, okay? What that says to me is the division is still there for the taking, right? The Eagles, the Washington football team, the Giants, and the Cowboys. We all have problems. We all kind of stink. But that being said, there's still a chance. And I'm going to put all of my faith behind Cooper Rush. I'm going to put all of my faith behind McCartney. I'm going to put all my faith behind this team and say the way things are going with that division, I still got confidence that the Cowboys could win the division.
There you go. Very good. My favorite part of this will be when Garrett Gilbert gets
Garrett
the start.
Gilbert's
but you still have all the confidence in Cooper Rush.
Well, I had to make a split-second decision.
By the way, T.J. Jefferson has just made Cooper Rush. Just announced him the starter Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't have announced that before the team. My bad.
All right, here's my higher register. You know how all in on the Ravens I've been for the last 2 years, right? I always love me some Harbaugh. I love me some Lamar Jackson. I was on that Lamar Jackson for MVP train months before they even snapped the football in his MVP season.
Yes, you were.
And then coming into this year, I said, I believe in the Ravens and I believe in Lamar to the point where I know for a second consecutive year, they, you know what, the bed in the playoffs, one and done, despite being a one seed for the first time in their illustrious history, that they would win the Super Bowl this year. And I know they just lost to the Steelers, 4 turnovers for my guy Lamar, and I'm genuinely concerned. But Dez is coming off of the practice squad. Yannick Ngakoue is going to be basically part of rushing the passer. So even though they're a couple games behind the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm going to say this. Maybe the Baltimore Ravens can win the AFC anyway. I think they're still going to win the AFC. Like I said, they got Dez. They got Yannick Ngakoue. You know?
Yeah.
They're going to be, even if they're the 5 seed, I think they can go and take on a 4th seeded Buffalo Bills team or maybe a 4th seeded Indianapolis Colts team. We're going to see maybe a playoff preview this week, Baltimore and Indianapolis.
That's a good game.
That'll be part of my 3 under the radar, as a matter of fact. I think the Ravens are still going to win the AFC. And I have now twice used my higher register to downgrade my solid take and belief
in the area.
In this, and also that the Heat should not break up for Giannis, which is something I will bring up to Brian Windhorst next. I'm going to keep pounding away. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll be back here with Brian Windhorst on the latest in the NBA. That's coming up next. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. And check everything out on Peacock. And then once this show is over, hold on a minute, let me do this right. Right here on the bar at the top, it should say sports, right around here where I'm pointing. You hit that button and you find us, and then a bunch of our clips are there, and then all 3 hours of this show are available sitting right there. So you can watch us every day either live on NBC Sports on Peacock right after Dan Patrick or before Brother from Another, or check us out when you want right here on Peacock. It's an outstanding free service, as you know. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show with our radio audience all together, and I just love talking to this guy. And whenever something's happened in the NBA, he's the first guy I say let's go talk to. He is NBA insider from the worldwide leader in sports, Brian Windhorst. How are you, Brian?
Hi, Rich.
How you doing? Everything good in your world?
You know, it's a stressful time for a lot of people, so I'm just focusing on the positive.
Excellent. I love that. Love to hear that, Brian. Let's focus on the NBA, which is always a positive then. What was going on behind the scenes about December 22nd, Brian?
Yeah, so, Rich, this was look, I'm not saying that there aren't other things that need to be negotiated. I don't want to just put that under the rug and ignore it, because there's COVID protocols, there's player health protocols and stuff. There's going to be a bunch of guys who sign contracts who get drafted and they're expected to change their location in the middle of a pandemic in like a week and a half. Like, I don't want to ignore that. But what was happening with the NBA was straight about money, which is not a surprise. It's business. It's pro sports. And the posturing towards Martin Luther King Day and versus Christmas was about money. It was an effort to get better terms. And I'm kind of surprised that last night the players didn't agree to the financial terms. They agreed to the schedule, and I think that they will eventually agree to the financial terms. But when they ended that call, there was a lot of sort of celebration amongst NBA fans. Basketball's back on Christmas, and I'm just going to stop a little short of guaranteeing that. I'm optimistic that'll be the case. But I know that fans like trades and who's going to draft who, and will my team move up or will my team move down, and who are we going to sign in free agency, and all that's coming. But this has been a little bit of a mini soap opera over the last 2-3 weeks, and it's been about money.
So how does it play out? You think that the ball's up in the air on December 22nd?
Yeah, I do. It's just too much at stake. And that's really what happened. And even LeBron James came around on this, you know, I know people are saying that this is the shortest offseason. Even on SportsCenter, as I was talking about this negotiation, we had this trove of stats about how it's the shortest offseason in the history of major sports. That's not true. It's actually been the longest offseason because 8 teams haven't played since March. Since March. And a whole bunch of teams haven't played since July or August. And then, yes, the playoff teams since September, it is a really short offseason for like four teams. And those four teams have every right to be upset, and LeBron was one of them. LeBron, initially, I'm going to tell you, Rich, but initially LeBron was like, I'm not playing. You want to play December 22nd? You want to play Christmas Day? Have your game, but I'm not going to be there. But over the course of the last 10 days or so, he realized that the financial situation was just way too – it just didn't make sense not to do that. And so eventually it's all going to get lined up. And I guess at the end of the day, if you're an average NBA fan, will you have basketball on Christmas is all you care about. And so, yeah, you're going to have basketball on Christmas.
So then what does it look like, Brian? What does it look like? Because there's no talk of a bubble, correct, at all?
No, Rich, they're going to play in the cities, and they're going to have happen to them what the NFL and baseball said. They're going to have positive tests, and guys are going to get sidelined, and it's going to affect basketball probably more than other sports because, you know, obviously the quarterback is super important, but really, you know, one player out of 11 is not equate to one player out of five, especially if it's a star. So the NBA is probably going to have a little bit of an expanded roster. And this is what's going to happen. They're going to live with positive tests. And they're going to limit fans. And really what happened, Rich, because Adam Silver a month ago was saying, when we come back, we're playing with fans in every building. They were looking at this virus, and they were like, look, we could wait until March, and we could be in the exact same boat that we're in now, and we would have waited 3 months, and we still have no fans. So let's go ahead and play. Get our schedule back on track. Get done so that we don't have to have our finals going up against gymnastics. You don't want Simone right. Biles going up against LeBron because nobody wins there. They're not going up against Katie Ledecky. We don't want her going up against Giannis. So we're going to make the best of the situation and squeeze it in, and that's what's going to happen.
Do you think, looking way down the road, I know you've been very passionate about it, and I love the idea, and we did see a little bit of it, just, piloted, if you will, in the bubble, about a shorter regular season and a construct as a play-in tournament for seeding as well as getting into the playoffs. Do you think there's a conversation about that? Maybe even piloting that this year, do you think, to make sure that is getting in? Certainly, the NFL's talking about maybe having a week 18, week 19. There's at least a down the road. The NFL doesn't, it's not what they want, but I mean, a Super Bowl later in February is possible. The NBA, as you pointed out right there, has got the backstop of not wanting to go up against the Summer Olympics that's been pushed into 2021. What do you think about all this, Brian?
There is going to be some sort of play-in tournament, but it's not going to be the kind of thing that people have been talking about for years. It's just going to be an effort to try to squeeze more games, if you want me to be 100% frank. And right now, the negotiation for shortening the season permanently is off the table because everybody is in concession. There's money coming out of people's pockets here. Before, it was a question of whether things could be created that could make the money neutral. Now everybody is losing money, and nobody wants to talk about removing opportunities to make money. The window for that is closed for the time being. But I do think that play-in tournament was interesting that they had in the bubble, and I think we're going to see a version of it next spring, or I guess maybe summer, depending on when the playoffs start. And so they're moving in that direction. But this is just, Rich, for the last 6 years, and all sports have been this way, for the last 6 years, the NBA has had a huge influx of money coming into the system. Let me just tell you this, and this is all you need to know. Until like 3 years ago, there'd only been two players in history that earned over $30 million in a year. Kobe Bryant did 1 year. Michael Jordan did in the 90s in those two balloon years with the Bulls. That was it. It never happened other than those two guys. Last season, Rich, there were 20. It went from two in history. And then a couple years later, there were 20 guys earning over $30 million. We're about the first $40 million players in the next year or two, okay? Huge amounts of money have poured in, and the decisions that people have made have been based on that money flying in. Now there's money flying out the door, and it's changing people's perceptions of what's going to happen. And one of the things that I will be fascinated about is the load management argument. Mm-hmm. So many teams have focused on load management. They've had huge staffs where one guy on the staff was just in charge of load management. Well, guess what? We are headed into an NBA recession. Staffs are going to be smaller. Games are going to be tighter. Money is going to be tighter. We'll see where load management gets prioritized when the financials of the league are so vastly different, where, you know, not worrying about the national television audience if they don't get to see a star player because, oh, well, we're going to get the money anyway. We'll see if that is the prevailing feeling, as it has been in recent years.
Brian Windhorst here on the Rich Eisen Show. While we're being frank, then let's be frank. Do you think the Daryl Morey departure in Houston to wind up in Philadelphia was just one long, year-long firing over what happened with the tweet that did affect so many bottom lines?
No, but I think there are various people, including people in China, who wanted Tillman Fertitta to fire him in the moment.
Right.
And Tillman Fertitta did not do that. I mean, and Tillman Fertitta cost him tens of millions of dollars, maybe more than that, over the course of time to back Daryl Morey. I mean, that had to be a very difficult thing for him to do. I will say two things. One, I think the Rockets have been on a perpetual downhill slide for the last 2 years, ever since they were on the cusp of making the finals when Chris Paul hurt his hamstring. You know, Chris Paul is gone. Mike D'Antoni is gone. Daryl Morey is gone. A whole bunch of their draft picks are gone. And they're sort of stuck with this roster. And, you know, they're not in bad shape. They've got two star players. I'm not crying for them, but you can't look at them and say that they're going in a positive direction. I mean, objectively, I mean, they would disagree. They probably think they're great, but I disagree. And as for Daryl Morey's departure, it was kind of strange. You know, if I had my general manager under contract, I wouldn't want him to go to another team unless I was fine with firing him. He kind of, like, Philadelphia has four second-round picks in this draft, as an example. Houston is suffering from a complete lack of draft picks because they've traded all of them away. If I was Tillman Fertitta and the 76ers wanted my general manager and he resigned on Tuesday and took another job on Wednesday, because essentially that's what happened, because he said that they called him the next day, I would be a little pissed off. I'd say, I would like to trade you my general manager, and how about you send me two of those second-round picks? Now, look, I'm not going to, you know, browbeat the situation over second round picks, but I was just, it's very strange that this would happen, where a guy is able to just resign a job while under contract and then get another job the next day, unless there's something that we don't know about. And, you know, Daryl's out there the day he resigns saying, I want to spend more time with my family, I'm going to take a year off, and the next day he's on his way to Philly. I mean, come on, it's a little bit, if I was a Houston fan, I'd be like, wait a minute, what happened to our GM, who's been one of the best GMs in the league for the last 15 years?
Yeah, that's why I was asking, you know, if there was something else going on, because I think the world of Daryl Morey, and it just seemed something was up, and now he's in Philly. How do you, in a couple minutes left with you, Brian Windhorst, talk about the hot topics of what's going to be going down over the next several weeks? How do you think Daryl's going to, with Doc Rivers, remake this roster? Is it possible? You know, the rumor that he could go and get Harden for Embiid is a possibility, or how do you think he's going to solve this Embiid-Simmons Rubik's Cube, do you think?
So here's the thing about Daryl Morey. I know that everybody looks at him and thinks about analytics, or they think about his Twitter feed, or they think about the strange contracts he's given out, or they think about how he's made like 150 trades in the last 5 years. But he's actually extraordinarily traditional. For all of his new age stuff, he is absolutely obsessed with getting, keeping, and seeking more star players. It's all about star players, whether it was Yao Ming and Tracy McGrady, whether it was James Harden and Chris Paul, and then Russell Westbrook, it's about stars. So forget about James Harden. Like, yes, that's a guy he has a relationship with, and he built the team around. He's looking for star players. He is just like Pat Riley. He is just like Dr. Jerry West. He thinks up every morning and thinks about how to get and keep star players. And that's why his number one lieutenant, Sam Hinkie, went to Philadelphia and began a four-year process to what? Get us star players. So, and that's why his first order of business when he came into the door was to put his arms around Joel Embiid and give him a big, giant hug, just in case the lavish praise that he rained down upon Embiid on the press conference, he tweeted right afterwards, a screen grab of him having a FaceTime call with Joel Embiid to send the message, I am in love with my star center. So this is what Daryl Morey does. He's all about stars. I have never seen an executive vehemently defend a player like Daryl Morey defended James Harden. Rich, there was one time where I was on a radio show and I was talking about why James Harden wasn't going to be the MVP, and Daryl Morey was in the next segment and he heard me and he asked the radio station to bring me back on so he could debate me on the air. Because this is how Daryl is like operates. And so maybe it's Harden, maybe it's Bradley Beal, maybe it's Star X, maybe it's Giannis. This is what he's going to be. And I know that everybody can go to the trade machine and plug in Ben Simmons for James Harden. I would encourage you to not think so narrowly, because I think Daryl will not think that way.
All right. So you mentioned Giannis before I let you go. What's the timeline on him here?
Well, we now know with what the salary cap is going to be. He will have a five-year, $224 million contract sitting on the table. And if he turns it down, he's looking at, if he leaves, he's looking at getting a four-year, $146 million deal in a year.
Oh, boy.
That's, you know, do the math. You know, what's 224 minus 146? Yeah. It's a lot. It's $70, $80 million. And so is the risk of $70 or $80 million worth him moving on? That is what the next 7 or 8 months of the NBA is going to be a lot about. And the strange thing about the Supermax that he is able to be offered, Rich, is he can't sign it once the season starts. So he's going to have this moment when he comes back from Greece in the next couple of weeks here. Mm-hmm. That paper's going to be in front of him, and he signs it, they're throwing a virtual parade in Milwaukee. He doesn't sign it, I apologize to the Bucks and their fans. It is going to be a storyline every single day. That is the way the NBA works. Giannis is 100% aware of that, and the Bucks are 100% aware of that. And having lived through this several times with other stars on a day-to-day basis, I'm telling you right now, it will be a nightmare for them if he does not sign it. And there's a bunch of different reasons why he probably should not.
So basically, we now know the numbers and the figures, and now we know, based on what we heard last night and what we discussed here, most probability that it's going to be December 22nd. He has to sign it by December 22nd. And if he does not, then it is on and cracking. There's no question about it. So which would every team in the NBA blow up their team for him? Or is there one that you think would not? Every one of them would.
Yes. I mean, not everyone will. I mean, you know, I don't think the Utah Jazz will because they don't think they're getting him. But, I mean, it'll be game on in three cities right off. I mean, New York for sure, but New York's for every free agent. They never get them, but go ahead and try. Three teams I will tell you right now, as we sit here in November of 2020, I can't speculate to the future. The Miami Heat will lust after him with all of their might. The Dallas Mavericks, who will have Luka Doncic still on his rookie contract and therefore have the cap space to do it, will go after him with all of their might. And Golden State Warriors will go after him with all their might. I think the Lakers will have dreams of it, but with AD and LeBron on contracts, it's going to be really hard. Same with the Clippers. But those three teams are going to try to go after him with all their might. And I promise you, Rich, I know they're already plotting it. I mean, their plans are in place. They're just waiting for the information about whether he signs it or not. And that's just where we are. And here's the inconvenient truth for the Bucks fans. And Rich, I am from Cleveland. I am from a small market.
Yes.
I am not saying this to be the big, bad national media person.
Right.
I'm just telling you like it is. This is an inconvenient truth. Giannis can get the exact same contract next summer from the Bucks as he can now. And therefore, it de-incentivizes him to take away his optionality. And that's a flaw in the Supermax. Maybe it gets fixed at some point. But if I were his agent and seeing where everything is in the league and seeing what his options would be, why would I want him to take Dallas and Doncic off the table and take Miami and Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero and Pat Riley off the table, take out Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green off the table? Why would I have him do that when he could get the same contract next summer and make the Bucks so uncomfortable that they'll probably spend a whole bunch of money to try to keep him happy? You wouldn't. And that's just the unfortunate reality of the modern NBA.
So he's not going to sign that Supermax, and it'll be on, is basically what you're saying.
Well, the Bucks say that he will. They say that you don't know this man. He loves us. He loves his team. And I, you know, to be honest with you, I hope he does sign it. I want Milwaukee to be relevant. I don't want all the stars to be on the coast. I live in Omaha. Okay, But I'm just telling you the way I see it.
Huh. So did you just say that the Mavericks would trade Doncic for
No.
They'd keep him and add him.
Yes, like the issue with the Lakers, for example, is LeBron James and Anthony Davis are going to be earning like $85 million between them.
Right.
You're not going to have the cap space to sign. But because Luka Doncic next year will still be on his rookie deal, I believe earning about $10 million, not $35 million, you will have this glorious 1 year where you will have cap space. And you slide him into that. So Dallas has this opportunity with this player on a low contract that the other teams don't. And so that's why it's set up that way.
Well, before I let you go, I will say to you what I've said to my guys here in studio and place myself directly in your figurative verbal crosshairs that I don't think the Heat should break up their team for him. I like what they're doing. Don't break it up. Keep it going. What do you think of that idea?
It's reasonable, without question. But again, I will offer you the 40-year history of Pat Riley and his relentless drive for star players. And I will offer that as evidence.
Okay. Brian, thanks for the call. I truly love our chats. I say it to you every time. You spit truth and you make me smarter, and I enjoy the back and forth. And I'd love to have you back on before the draft.
Thank you, Rich. Have a nice day.
You bet. Same to you. That's Brian Windhorst. Knows all of it, and I just love the way he puts everything. Love it. Does not mince a word. Love it.
Absolutely not. It's
love
great.
It. It's a reasonable idea. Hey. I got that going for me. Hey, TJ, when we come back, yes, apparently sir. There's some troubling news for the Dallas Cowboys.
Imagine that.
Apparently there's that. And then let's get Daniel Jeremiah on the phone and have an actual draft evaluator hammer out our poll question. Which fictional football player from film history should be a first overall draft choice? That's coming up.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah!
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Chris, you want to update our poll questions over there, please? What do you got over there?
Yeah, hold on a second.
Huh?
Well, I was doing something else. Sorry. And then, that's all right. Which wide receiver is the best in the NFL right now? 48% Devontae Adams.
Yes.
And which fictional football player would you take first overall in the NFL draft? Bobby Boucher, 45%.
Okay.
You do it all.
High quality H2O.
I voted for Forrest Gump.
Wait, Bobby Boucher was a junior? Did I miss that? The Water Boy?
I voted for Forrest Gump. I'm proud to say it.
You want that explosive game changer.
That's it.
Boom.
Put the ball in his hands. It's over. We talked about earlier this week, Devin Hester's a Hall of Famer. That's Devin Hester years before Devin Hester. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Limited in practice, Zeke Elliott. Limited in practice, Zeke Elliott.
That makes sense. It explains why the guy in my fantasy football league just sent me a text going Zeke, ? Because he has Zeke. He's trying to get over on me.
Oh, he's trying to
get over on me. I don't work on a TV sports show that I would know these things.
Well, Zeke limited in practice. But you got something else on
there? Yeah, Kellen Moore said it's a wait and see thing.
Oh my gosh.
On how much Zeke can handle in week 10 dealing with the hamstring.
Really?
No, that's
no. You got to play the other one.
You got to play the other one. You got to play the Stephen A version. I mean, that's the.
No, that was good.
Sorry,
Jay.
Don't get on Jason.
You were
don't
fine.
Get on Jason.
You were fine
don't
with that.
Jason.
I haven't been here in a while. I don't really.
I mean, if Del Tufa was here, and he'd already dropped the Dr. Jones with his old rubber glove. I mean,
Jones with his old rubber glove.
Settled down just a little bit.
He knows where he might not know anything else other than he knows exactly where those Jerry Jones drops are. Don't worry about it.
Shut up and let me answer.
Don't worry about it.
Shut up,
okay, so our poll question is a phenomenal one based on the fact it's 22 years ago that Bobby Boucher was brought into our pop culture
1998.
Consciousness. 1998 was when The Water Boy was released in a theater near you. So we asked which fictional character, right, is...
Which fictional football player would you take first overall in the draft?
So we figured, you know what, we've gone back and forth right now. Who's currently leading the poll?
Bobby Boucher is leading the way, 45%.
Well, we figured, why don't we ask an actual football talent evaluator of the first variety of this question. Daniel Jeremiah back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, DJ?
I'm doing great, Rich. I've spent the morning, and this is not a lie, I spent the morning literally watching tape of all four guys, and I've written reports on all four players. So if you'd like me to start at one or four, I'm ready to go.
Okay, so let's start with Bobby Boucher, and we'll put our own Rich Eisen Show draft profile up on the screen while you have at it. You have the floor first on Bobby Boucher Jr.
Sure. Boucher primarily lines up as an off-the-ball linebacker. However, they will use him off the edge in some obvious passing situations. Against the run, he's very aggressive to fill and attack blockers, doesn't use his hands to shed, preferring to simply lower his shoulder and power through blocks. Has the range to make plays sideline to sideline. He's an outstanding blitzer, showing timing burst and a violent finish.
Yep.
He will need to abandon the drop kick at the next level. I don't see him being the primary signal caller or communicator, but his play instincts are exceptional. Overall, Boucher plays a lot bigger than his size. Should be an immediate impact player on day one.
Wow.
Interesting.
What about the concerns over his red flags, his potential character issues, DJ? None?
I'm okay there. I did a lot of homework on that, and it turns out he comes from a very good family.
Okay.
So he's going to be okay.
Is there any extra benefit for making delicious, high-quality H2O? Is there anything that comes with that? I didn't hear any of that.
I think you're going to have no cramping issues on this team whatsoever. It's just a bonus.
Okay. All right. So that's Bobby Boucher, Daniel Jeremiah at Move the Sticks, and also listen to him and Bucky Brooks on the Move the Sticks podcast. Moving on to Johnny Utah, quarterback of the Ohio State University. What's your breakdown here?
Yeah, Utah's a wild card in this draft. Doesn't have a lot of film. I was able to find some tape of him playing in a different league. AKA different role, has average athleticism and an awkward three-quarter left-handed delivery. His best traits are his toughness and competitiveness.
Yeah.
Never gives up on a play. He'll fight for every yard as a runner. He has been generating a lot of buzz in league circles, but I'm still not totally buying in. He's a little too high on the board for me right now.
Okay.
He's got to go down. It's got to be that way. I would consider hiring him after his playing days are over. He could have a long career associated with the game, either an outstanding coach, a prominent scout, or a special agent.
Okay, now that's the question that we had. That's our red flag, is we're wondering if he's committed to football, or is law enforcement perhaps getting in the way of his commitment to the craft, DJ? That was our red flag.
He's number four. He's number four on my list.
Wow. He's not high on Utah. All right, so next up, Willie Beeman, quarterback, University of Houston.
Sure.
What's your draft evaluation on him, Daniel Jeremiah? What do you have for him?
All right, Rich. Beeman, a little bit of a late bloomer. He's originally a seventh-round pick, bounced around to four different teams. He's since settled in and emerged as a dangerous playmaker as both a passer and a runner. He has quick feet in his setup, a smooth motion. The ball jumps out of his hand. He can make every throw. He's at his best when the play breaks down, using that athleticism to extend plays while keeping his eyes downfield. Generates a lot of big plays. As a runner, sudden bursts, and also possesses the strength to break tackles. His immaturity is an issue, and I believe there is something to the rumors about his poor relationship with his star running back. I think it's important for his coaches to understand how to best use his skill set. The lack of RPOs is a major mistake. He'll excel in the right system and should emerge as the best player in the league. He's my number one player.
Wow!
My name is Willie.
But it depends on he gets into the right system, is what you're saying.
I mean, the fact that they don't use him in the RPO game is ridiculous. I mean, that's just poor coaching.
Okay, so maybe Doug Peterson would be able to – the Eagles would be a good spot for him, sort of like that.
Yeah, they get it out of him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last one, I'll be honest with you, I'm partial. This is the one I voted for in our poll question. one of the greatest kick returners I've ever seen from Alabama, yep. Forrest Gump. What's your take here, DJ?
All right, Rich. Gump is a dynamic kick returner for the Crimson Tide. He's made an impact in plays in every game that I studied. He's the definition of straight line fast, lacks elusiveness and make missability, but it doesn't seem to matter. He gets up to top speed immediately and destroys pursuit angles. I'd like to see him involved in the offense because I believe his speed would play well on jet sweeps, reverses, and vertical takeoff routes. The trainers told me that he's had some durability issues as a young kid, but they haven't had any issues at Alabama. The head coach worries about his ability to learn and grasp concepts. He even actually referred to him as a stupid SOB when he was talking to me. But once he said he's a joy to coach. It's probably the best to leave him on special teams until he gets comfortable.
Right.
I wouldn't be ping-ponging him back and forth between positions. He'll be a good soldier, provided you surround him with a good lieutenant, and I'd be shot in the butt to draft it.
Daniel wow. Jeremiah.
Well
this
done.
This is why we DJ. Called you, DJ. This is why we called you. So rank him for me. Let's finish up strong here. What do you got for me here? Willie's one? Is he your first overall pick? Willie? Oh, we just lost him. He hung up the phone. Let's get him back on.
He did say Willie Beeman was his number one.
Say Willie Beeman.
Man, we were about to finish up strong. Get him back on the horn, Adam, so we could put this thing together.
He just texted me. That was my walk-off.
That was his walk-off? You just hung up? Oh, man. I think maybe his phone ran out of batteries.
Amazing.
That was amazing. So Willie Beeman is his
top pick.
Yeah, it sounded like Beeman 1, Boucher 2, Gump, then Utah. That's five. If I interpreted his reports correctly.
He was very
high. I'm surprised how low he is on Johnny Utah.
Yeah, not a lot of tape out there. I mean, he did win a Rose Bowl, but I understand.
That was it. He just hung chopped
up,
him.
Hung up, walked
Daniel
off.
Jeremiah, everybody.
So impressive.
I thought I dealt two foot him for a second.
No, you did not. Boy, if Mike was here. That was not me.
You know what the things he had to say about Willie Beeman, man, late bloomer, dangerous playmaker, quick feet, ball jumps out of his hands, makes every throw.
Ping pong, like he literally did spend all morning ping ponging back and forth. He's a good soldier, needs a good lieutenant.
He's a good lieutenant.
Come on now. His coach referred to him as a stupid SOB.
But he sure is fast.
That is just amazing. Next level, Daniel Jeremiah.
That was
next
impressive.
Freaking level.
Oh.
Forrest is my guy, though. It's a game. And of all four guys, who's going to change the game?
Yeah.
Who's going to change the game? I thought he was going to go Bobby Boucher. He was very high on Bobby Boucher.
He was.
So it was Beeman, Boucher.
Beeman, Boucher, Gump, and then Utah fourth. Yeah.
You're more of the Johnny Utah expert
I'm
than
more
me.
Of
Do
a
you
Utah
agree?
Guy,
Did you
man.
Disagree with that?
Yeah. Disagree.
Said he didn't have a lot of tape on him.
But he had look, you can't discount what it means to win the Rose Bowl.
Who told us that P. Diddy was the original choice for Willie Beeman and he just couldn't throw?
Yeah, we've heard that.
Was it Irv? Somebody told him. No, it wasn't Irv. Somebody
told us. This story's been going around for
years. It might have been Dennis Quaid.
That's right. Somebody from the set.
Might have been Dennis Quaid.
That it was just like, yeah, we can't do that.
Yeah.
Let's get Jamie Foxx out here.
Worked
good choice.
Out. Worked out.
Good choice. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Ready for your news update, Christopher?
I am.
Because Eddie Olczyk's going to be part of it, and he's going to make some cash for us.
Let's
okay,
go.
For the Breeders' Cup Classic. That's coming up, Hour 3, and Jeremy Piven. Did DJ start texting you back?
He texted the both of us his full scouting report on both guys. Let me try to put this out, and I'll tweet these out. As well.
I love it.
These are fantastic.
Oh my gosh. He really did write it out.
He went to work this morning.
He watched the film. He put in the work. That's why I love Daniel Jeremiah. Now, if I had done that with Mayock, he'd have been like, who the hell are these guys?
Yeah.
Why the hell are you calling me?
Yeah,
Mayock's the right guy.
Mayock's never seen Any Given Sunday. No chance.
By the way, yeah, our graphic is dead on with Forrest. Questionable Wunderlich, tends to daydream. Straight line runner only. He's not evasive. Straight line runner. But the jet sweep. Hey, Forrest on a jet sweep. And then what he would have to do is he'd run straight at the sideline. Everyone's like, run that way. And then he'd have to turn.
Destroys
pursuit
angles.
So you'd have to run. Hold on a second. You'd have to run the jet sweep only to the Alabama side.
Right.
Because he just would run straight out of bounds if he ran it to the LSU side. They'd basically, come on, here we go.
I mean, remember he did a Bo Jackson. He ran right under the tunnel after scoring.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they had to put up the stop sign.
That's right. Oh, baby.
Are we having too much fun with this?
Oh, there's no such thing. No such thing. Hour 3 coming up.